structures become a lasting joy to me. I lose the beat path when the storms come, just grit and dirt. We all rejoice.
Welcome to Pattern Club. I'm Lucy and I'm here tonight with Alex, and we have a very special guest who I'm not going to introduce just yet, but I will introduce momentarily. How are you, Alex?
I'm good, thank you. It's all right in Sheffield, quite a nice sunny day today. I wasn't quite prepared for that question. You never really know on what level to answer that kind of question.
That's, you know, good. Talking about the weather is always a good default. Yeah, I just sort of panicked and didn't really know what to say. We should talk about the tracks I just played. So we were just listening to The Silver Field with Salt Light, from her recent release, which I've got but temporarily forgotten the name of, Sing High, Sing Low, which is on Crossness Records, which I've been really enjoying recently. And before that, we had Church Andrews and Matt Davies performing their tune Shepherd live, which I think is so named for the use of shepherd tones.
Oh, was there?
I wasn't paying attention.
I think that's from their upcoming release, a two track release, Aquila.
It means eagle, right?
Ah, I didn't know that.
I think. Maybe
good
not.
Fact.
Could be an incorrect fact.
Fact. Disinformation on the internet.
Yeah, that's what I stand for. anyway, that's enough of that. Shall we listen to some Conical?
Oh, yes. Shall I try and explain it first?
Okay.
So this is a recent YouTube upload by BC Manjineth on his channel. And he's performing this with his son, who is called Skander Manjineth. And they've called it a conical basic exercise. It sounds extremely complicated though. But there's something really simple underneath, which is just counting from 1 to 3. Each repetition, you just add an extra syllable. So you start with ta takadimi, and then the next time it's ta ta takadimi, and then the next time it's ta 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 takadimi, and then tarakita tarakita. So if you do that while clicking on the fourth beat, it goes ta. Let me think. Ta. Oh. Yeah, that was actually on it. It's Ta Dim Takadimi, I think. Ta Dim Takadimi, Ta Ta Dim Takadimi, Ta 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 Dim Takadimi. I think I've actually got that wrong. Maybe let's listen to it and then I'll try and remember how it goes and explain it then.
All right, let's go.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Just one take, amazing. Yeah, so I think it was right the first time, kind of. So it's ta takadimi ta ta takadimi ta 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 takadimi tarakita tarakita. So that was like adding one each time, and so if you think of that as counting 1, 2, 3, then they did that 4 times, and then they counted 3, 2, 1, and then they did that 4 times, but then they counted 3, 3, 3, then 2, 2, 2, then 1, 1, 1. Or the other way around. And then, yeah, so basically just rearranging these syllables in different patterns and doing it incredibly fast. And so you end up with this thing really kind of, I don't know, it feels like they're going up and down in all kinds of different ways at once.
I would also, I mean, this is a radio show, but I would also recommend watching the video.
Yeah.
It's very sweet to see the interactions between them while they're performing as well. It's really nice. Yeah, great recommendation. Nice one, Alex. So I think 1, 2, and 3 are prime numbers. I hope I haven't got that wrong. We have got someone who can help us with that. I think it's debatable, right? Is 1, 1? Is 2, 1? I don't know. Anyway, that's my poor maths, but it's fine because I'm talking about prime numbers because I want to play some prime number related music before we introduce our guest. So this is Relations Between Primes by Martin Clifford.
Thank you.
wouldn't be Pattern Club without a tech failure on my part. So sorry about that. We've just been listening to Relations Between Primes by Martin Clifford, and we're lucky enough to have Martin Clifford's alter ego, Charlie Potter, in the studio with us tonight. Hello, Charlie. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
That's all right. Can I ask you how you are, or is that too difficult a question?
I've been doing a job application today. I'm very worn out. I don't have much bandwidth left.
Okay, cool. That's where we like to be. We're on the radio show, low bandwidth. So I was thinking about how I would introduce you, and I just think you're a fellow pattern enthusiast and musician based in Sheffield. Also a philosopher. I don't know if you would like to be introduced that way or not.
I think it doesn't necessarily make me the most agreeable person. I think I introduce myself as a philosopher far too much.
But at least it's valid then.
I think I generally use it as an excuse for being weird. But yeah. Sorry, was there a question?
No, I'm just waffling basically. I do have a question for you though, which is that you've made this whole album using various different techniques to make music from prime numbers, and I wondered if you wanted to talk about that a little bit more and some of the approaches that you took.
So some of these are more kind of processy than others. Maybe it help if I just talk about this first one. So it's kind of hard to explain, but basically I've got a beat sort of assigned to, so on every second beat there is one kind of pitch, and it every time it plays it gets quieter, and I've got a bit of kind of reverb on there, so it goes sort of back into the distance. I have actually got something representing the number one, which generally is not considered a prime
number. So I was not wrong. One is a prime number.
It's generally not considered a prime number.
But you've included it, so
no,
that was
well,
a good
you
segue
know,
after all.
So, like, because, you know, the reason I do these things, it's not because, like, the prime numbers come first. And then I just sort of, that's the god of the music and I have to follow it. It's just, I do the thing that I want to hear. And because I'm obsessed with prime numbers, it always involves prime numbers. And I think that that's a good way of explaining this music. I was slightly nervous about playing this stuff on the radio because it's on the show, because it's stuff, I really make it out of compulsion. I'm not really aiming at making something that's going to be good for other people to listen to. And so a lot of the time I don't really care about the sounds that much. And I think it does help to know what's going on there. I think that the reason behind doing that, what I really wanted to get is that as you go sort of further up the kind of prime number sequence, the relations between the prime numbers, say between I'm gonna embarrass myself now, what's the next 41 and 43, for example, they're almost going to be kind of phasing, whereas much further down between 2 and 3, that's kind of quite easy to understand. I have no idea how to make this comprehensible.
No, I understand what you're saying. It's like the I guess like how often it would repeat, like, or line back up, right?
Yeah, I guess. But you get these kind of like increasingly complex sort of cross rhythms as you go up the scale. And I just kind of like they're like sort of having representations of prime. I mean, the reason for the prime number things is that to me they're kind of like the basic building blocks of number in some way. They have this just kind of almost mysterious quality to them in that they're like indivisible apart from by one and themselves, which I think kind
it's
of doesn't
indivisible. It doesn't count.
Maybe. I don't know. But yeah. And yeah, I'm not like a maths guy or something. I don't know much about this. Someone was telling me about prime numbers and how they're used in quantum computers and stuff. I just really find them quite interesting and end up thinking about them, and I've kind of made patterns based on them for years and years now. Some visual things and some audio things.
Do you think, at risk of maybe labouring the point, I don't know, we can stop talking about this in play some more super songs, but do you think that there is, what am I trying to say? So I guess what I'm trying to get at is Western music traditions often uses patterns of kind of four or six or maybe three, which is a prime number, but less often. Do you think one of the things that attracts you to the use of prime numbers when you're making music is the rhythm that they create being kind of non-standard to the Western ear?
Yeah, definitely. I think that is an attraction. But I think also because they have this kind of, yeah, I don't know, just the way that I think about them is these sort of building blocks. Like, it's the sort of quickest, easiest way to sort of, even if you want to have a pattern with lots of factors in it. So like I often write music with 30 beat bars,
mm-hmm.
because there you've got, you can divide it by 2, 3, 5, 6, 10, 15, 30. And so just from timesing 2 times 3, mm. 5, 5, and then another 2 in there. It's like the quickest, easiest way of coming up with a kind of an interesting structure.
Very nice.
Nice.
So, you've brought some stuff into play.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to just take it away with that, if you want to talk about anything, or just play and then talk, or
so,
whatever you feel like.
I tried to think of, there's lots of stuff that I like to play, but I thought that this was where is it gone? I can't find it now. Maybe. Ah, here we go. Well, maybe I just play it and then explain it? Or?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. Thank you.
Shall I say something?
Yeah.
Okay.
On,
yeah.
So
that
to.
Was Continuum for harpsichord by Gheorghe Ligeti, who is a composer I have a lot of love for. I just think it's so incredible the way that he did so many different kinds of experiments that were all really successful. I think that there's a lot of people that will try out kind of ideas. And like with the stuff that I was playing earlier, like I say, I don't really worry that much about it sounding good. But Ligeti throughout his career seemed to just amazingly just try out all of these things, and it sound really, really good as well, which I think is incredible. So that's one reason for playing it. Another reason for playing it is seemed quite suitable, very sort of patterny and kind of cyclic. And finally, so something that I particularly like about this piece, by the way, it's really worth having, this is another one that's worth having a watch of online, just the sheer like strain it puts on the performer is kind of a bit cruel, but it's pretty amazing.
I was really enjoying the like sound of the frantic key presses.
Yeah, you just sort of like, it must be really bad for arthritis or something, the way that they have to do this kind of twisty hand thing. So what I kind of like about this, one of the things I like about this piece, and is kind of related to something I'm going to play next, is that maybe it doesn't come out in this performance as well as it could do, but certainly it starts off really, really frantic, and it is really frantic in places. But I think there's also a way of listening to it that you get these quite sort of slow chord changes. And I think a lot of the music that I really like is this kind of thing where something can be really kind of frantic at one time and but sort of slowly turn into this kind of ocean of kind of noise at the same time. And I like that, just that kind of boundary between those two things. Does that make sense? Am I making sense?
Yeah.
It's like almost a bit like kind of granular synthesis or something. I was like, you could zoom in and really listen to the individual like hits, or you can kind of, especially when music's really repetitive as well,
I think
over time you can almost tune out a little bit from the detail and pick up some of those longer and slower transitions that are happening. And particularly like, I guess if you've got music, I'm thinking about some other Ligeti pieces where you have like choral pieces where the singers are kind of phasing in and out of each other, and it can feel like nothing's happening, but then like you suddenly realize how much the music's changed during the course of the piece.
Sneaks up on you, I guess. Lontano is a good one for that as well. Shall I make this questionable link to some piece of music that I've made now?
Yeah, please do.
So,
a tenuous segue on Pattern Club Radio.
I mean, I think maybe I shouldn't do this, but I'm gonna sort of apologize for what I'm gonna play next and explain it a little bit. Maybe it's more fun to just play it and then I'll right, where are we going? Here we go. Okay.
Oh,
Okay, so maybe some people have sort of seen some kind of connection to what I was saying before, maybe not, but the longer it goes on, the more this kind of effect works. I listened, metal is kind of my comfort music, and I've always listened to it, but in the past, I was never really so much into genre, what I would say called genre metal, death metal. I mean, all of this, I would say, is kind of loosely brutal technical death metal, which I really love. But the thing that really kind of just, it was almost like an instant switch that really helped me kind of get into this music was this really great interview with Mick Barr, who was also, I think, someone who is, he's a massive hero of mine, and people that are sort of patinophiles should probably look at some of the things that he's done, particularly the album OV that he did in his band Orthrealm. But in that interview, he kind of says about, so he gives the example of the band Disgorge, and he sort of says he always listens to death metal in, you line up at least three albums. And I really think that's the way to do it. You want to listen to a back catalogue at a time. Well, this is a way of doing it. And basically, it just, after you listen to lots and lots of it, it's so sort of complicated and confusing and kind of chopped up that it just sort of becomes really, really hypnotic, because it's basically, because it's changing all of the time, it becomes sort of almost homogenous in a way. Hopefully I'm not talking nonsense. That's how I think of it anyway. And so I wanted to do something that, this is a kind of a sketch, and this is an excerpt from that sketch of a thing that's probably, I still haven't decided how long I want to make it yet, but I'm going to sort of release it on cassette, and I want to make it look like a kind of death metal demo, because demos are really important in death metal. But it's going to be at least 40 minutes long. I'm kind of thinking of wondering whether it would make sense to make it really long. So that's just something that I'm working on now. And I think that, for me, after about 2 minutes, it does start to have that effect where it's a bit different. We were listening to it quite loud in here, so maybe it didn't become less abrasive. But that's kind of my thinking behind it.
Nice. I'm going to say two things. One is just to apologise to our listeners if you can hear and to Charlie, our guest, for the noise of construction happening in the background. So we're actually not at Mondo Radio. We're doing a pre-record in our new Alpaca Lab studio, but they are doing some DIY to build more studios, I think, Alex.
Yeah. So if you're interested in being our neighbours, get in touch with Creative Arts Development Space, also known as CADS, and maybe you can get one of those studios.
Yeah, maybe be less noisy than us, or if we're listening to chopped up brutal technical death metal for 45 minutes or longer at a time, you might not want to be in the studio next to us. I don't know. So I also like metal a lot. I'm not like, I kind of smiled a bit when you said like brutal technical death metal, because I find all these like micro distinctions between different kinds of metal really interesting. I wanted to kind of pose a question to Alex, who I believe is not a metalhead, but maybe has recently been listening to some metal, because you went to Arctangent Festival, right?
I did. Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to see if you were opening your heart to complicated patterny metal, or if your heart's still closed.
Yeah, I guess I haven't really listened to much metal, so I haven't been open or closed to it. It just has passed me by. But yeah, my son's been getting into the electric guitar as an instrument, and getting into lots of classic old school metal bands. And yeah, we had fun in Arctangent. I was really blown away by some of the bands, actually.
Who did you like?
I really liked Meshuggah.
Right.
Super patterny. Right. We should play some Meshuggah on the show, actually. Every week I'm like, maybe
Where's the Meshuggah?
I'll play some Meshuggah, but
they are really good live as
just
well.
Incredible.
They're
just
very, very confident and
and the light show was so tightly synced, or vice versa.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Brickville, really good. Incredible percussionist. And who was the Japanese?
Sai,
yeah. Okay.
I love
right.
Sai. They're like
they
one of
were
my
very theatrical
OG fave bands.
Right.
Yeah, they obviously been going a long time, and now they've got some kids involved, just like very young girls, really kind of head banging like crazy, with blood pouring everywhere. It's great, great fun. Yeah, I'm into metal now, and Arctangent was really fun as well.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Nice little festival.
Nice. I also like algorithmic metal. I'm in an algorithmic sort of metal and noise band. And I also found recently, I can't what it's
what's
called.
Your band called?
Drew Yorkshire Cult Ensemble. We don't, well, I always just say we don't play many gigs, but we've just played loads of gigs this year. We're playing Gut Level. I actually can't remember where it is. I think at Gut Level on the 17th of October. I should know where my own gigs are, but Loz, the other person in my band, organises all the shows, so I've got no idea what's going on. I just show up when I'm told, which is nice, but also a bit neglectful of me. I was also going to mention there's some really nice, like, algorithmically generated, like, neural net black metal.
Ah.
What's it called? Frostbitten black metal. These are the great, like, metal has such good names for its different genres, like brutal, frostbitten, blackened. You can like subdivide your genres of metal.
It's important though. The death metal has to be brutal and technical. The technical stuff is just not visceral enough.
Right.
The pure brutal stuff is boring. It has to be brutal, technical death metal.
Okay, yeah, this album is called Codittany of Timeness, and it was created by a group called Dadabots. They cut up an album by Kralis called Diotima. And then they fed it through a neural net and generated some music.
So it's another Mick Barr, because Mick Barr
is it?
In Kralis.
Yeah. Oh, what a great connection. I mean, we can listen to it.
Let's do it, yeah.
All right, let's see what it sounds like. This is total, like, we've gone on a bit of a departure here, but anyway, it's good.
Thank you.
another tech fail for me, but that was, from Codetomy of Timeness by Dadabots, which is sort of generated from Qualys. And that's a nice connection that it was the same path as you were talking about. Anyway, I feel like I've totally railroaded your segment, Charlie, so I'll hand back to you.
Oh, it's quite, if you want more of my nonsense, then I have plenty more of it.
Please, play some more.
Can I play some Conlon and Caro?
We played some Conlon and Caro.
Oh, really?
That's okay. What are you going to play? We played it was a while ago. We can play more.
I don't... it was going to kind of... Study number 5, which is the classic.
Yeah, that's, I think, what we played. We actually had it as a request from my friend, who then didn't listen to the radio show, which I'm still salty about. So, Will, if you listen.
I don't know. Should play something that's prime number-y, but maybe a bit more kind of obviously musical.
What are you saying about Conlon Nankaro? That it's not obviously musical?
I think it's very, very musical, yeah. No. I don't know. I don't want to be the guy that plays a song that's sort of been played on the show.
Well, if anyone... hasn't heard it, then pause this now and then
let's play it.
Study right. Number 5.
Okay, I just felt it's lovely. I know I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
Sorry. I think there is a metal cover of that out there, but I wouldn't recommend it. I think it's maybe a bit disappointing.
I love that some like absolute shredder tabbed out Conlon and Caro.
Yeah. Obviously, have a like both him and Ligeti, like it would be really horrible for me to find out that they were awful people or something. I feel a lot of affection for them. There's this nice story about how he went to Mexico to sort of fly over and to help the Spanish resistance, and America wouldn't let him back in. And so he lived in Mexico most of his life. Then really late in his life, they said that he'd be able to move back to America as long as he signed something sort of saying that he you know, was wrong or something like that, and he just wouldn't sign it. He just stayed in Mexico, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
I think Ligeti was an Ankaro fan as well, right?
Yes.
That's right, I think.
Very much so, yeah.
And plucked him from obscurity.
There is it's worth seeing, there's this really nice little haiku that John Cage wrote about Conlon Nancarrow, and it sort of spells out Nancarrow. It's kind of quite sweet, I think. It's obviously irritatingly clever in the way that Cage can be sometimes, but yeah. It's nice. So yeah, he's a big influence. Yeah, I suppose I kind of have to play this horrible piano thing now that I made.
I think we should definitely listen to the piano thing, and I'm sure it's not horrible at all. Embrace it.
Well, I've tried to make it horrible.
You failed!
Okay, so this is study number 5 as well, actually. So I've just stolen the title even.
Is it a metal? Is it a boogie-woogie piano cover?
No.
Is it a piano house cover?
I mean, I've set myself up for a fall. It's just nowhere near as good as Nancarrow. But here we go.
Let's go.
Sorry,
Alex,
I should have warned you.
Too busy reading academic papers to unmute the mic.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was actually looking at a paper about Nank in a Can, which is by Alejandro Franco Bionis and his colleague Diego Villasano de Cortina. And it was just reminding me because it's algorithmic music, sort of re-implementation of Nancarrow. But the paper's really nice because it does actually reference all the kind of socialist, communist underpinnings
nice.
Of the background of the music. And I think quite often Nancarrow is often, you know, that whole story is left out. And
yeah, it's seen as like a sort of purely technical experiment.
Yeah, it's nice to, when people aren't complete nasty narcissists, to actually, you know, enjoy the person as well as the
and not
kind of separate the music from the context.
I wish I could remember his like composing technique. Is just amazing, like using rulers and all sorts. So this piece, I've got a whole bunch of these like things that are gonna eventually be on something that I'll call etudes because I find it funny. you may notice like this pretty kind of obviously computer generated piano sounds, which I kind of like. I like the fact that it sounds bad in that I often do use pianos for that, just in that I like sort of stripping that element away and just trying to focus on notes and relationships between notes. The main kind of part of this composition that I wanted to sort of focus on is that last bit, you know, it kind of goes quiet and then gets louder again. That bit, I think I might chop off the front bit and do something else with it. And I want that last bit eventually, similar to other stuff that I've played today, to go on. I think I want it to be about half an hour long. And the way that I write that bit is a note at a time. So each note that I add, I listen to what's come before it and try to, each note, I try and make it the most sort of surprising or uncomfortable note each time. And so I just like the idea of having, and it's quite intense after just like 20 seconds, like I was saying in between it. I always find it amazing that's only a minute and a half long. It feels so long, I find.
I disagree. I didn't find that. Maybe if I listened to it a lot more times, or maybe if I had written it, I would feel like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that just this sort of speed just slows time down.
Useful.
Or something like that.
Speaking of time, we've only got about 5 minutes left. I think Alex has an announcement to make. We try to do an announcement.
So, Ray is not, couldn't be with us, but they have organised a fantastic workshop coming up on the 26th of October in collaboration with Distribution of Power, who do workshops open to all, but specifically carving space and prioritising participants who identify as having visible and invisible disabilities, or being neurodivergent female, LGBTQI plus identifying and carers. It'll be at gut level. If you go to buytickets.at/patternclub, then you'll find this ticket link. It's going to be amazing. So as I say, everyone welcome. You need to buy tickets, but there's some free ones available. It'll be introducing hands-on exploring synthesizers suitable for total beginners, as well as people who want to bring their own synths along. We really want to get all kinds of people coming along and having fun. And we're going to mix it with, so it'll be hands-on synthesis and live coding. We'll be connecting up Strudel to synthesizers, doing some ready-made patterns and kind of playing with them. It'd be really playful. It's hard to kind of explain how beginner-friendly this is going to be, because when you start using saying things like modular synthesis and live coding algorithmic music, but it will be super good. And meeting Zara, one of the organizers behind Distribution of Power, who've done amazing workshops all over the place, has been great. And come along if you're interested, please do.
I'm very excited about it. I think it'd be a very nice announcement. Over any other announcements, or are we good with the announcements?
I guess it's super excited to have our own space on Arley Street, and we'll be having some more events soon. But sign up to our mailing list on patternclub.org/Sheffield to hear about that.
Yeah, we don't email you lots, but we will email about all of the stuff we've got going on.
Yes.
Cool. So shall we hand back to Charlie for one last track to round us out?
If that's what you want.
Please.
Thanks so much for
It's been great having you on and for sharing some stuff.
Thank you so much for having me on.
And stuff we don't know.
Yeah, okay. So this is Strain. It was made quite a while ago, actually, but I still like it.